So today, I want to really challenge us. I haven't come to stroke your flesh. Every time I preach anywhere in the world, I want it to be a significant occasion for anyone that hears. I haven't come to fill a day, to fill in time, or to do something on Sunday morning instead of sleeping, which I do other days of the week. And I've come today on his direction to challenge us deeply. And so while you're sitting in your seats, be prepared to be challenged deeply. And I also want to speak to the kids that are in here. You're doing your kids' packs, but this is for you too, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no Holy Spirit that's just for adults. When you get to the age of 16 or 17, you can receive. You can receive the Holy Spirit when you are a young child. Are any children listening? Put your hands up if you're listening. Whoa, ho, yes, they are. Aren't they wonderful? Oh, kids, gorgeous. I'm a great grandma, so I'm now enjoying the little dudes again. It's really beautiful. So the Holy Spirit wants a friendship with you. He wants a friendship with you. And that friendship opens up a plethora of amazing, amazing parts of our lives. He will cause us to live holy. When I was filled with the Spirit of God about 43 years ago, before that, you wouldn't have recognized me. I'm going to tell on me now. When I was a schoolgirl and I left school when I was 16, I could not even stand in class and read a book or read a sentence or answer a question from the teacher. I was so shy. I would go red and I would cry. Here is the transformation that the Holy Spirit did. He's a transformer of every part of our lives. Wouldn't do today if I'm called to preach and I stood up here and cried, would it? That wouldn't work very well. The Holy Spirit will help us to evangelize. He will give us the power afresh to resist temptation. Man, do we need that? I need that. I'm the only sinner here. Well, fancy that. The Holy Spirit gives us the power and the willingness to surrender. Surrender our flesh, surrender our desires, surrender our habits, and become victorious in those things. Does anyone else need that besides me? He changes our desires. He gives us courage and boldness. Man, I need that for the call to go on my life. I need courage and boldness. And I'm going to tell you some stories where I've had to actually grab that thing and go, it's mine, because I need that courage and I need that boldness. God's word will become fresher and have more understanding for us. It won't be, I'm reading it and I know it in my head. It's like God gives it a power and gives us a power to receive that drop into our spirits that we actually know in our knower that we know it. Is that good English? The Holy Spirit, like we saw this morning, gives us the power and the ability to worship in a way that the floodgates of heaven open. Isn't that very cool? And he helps us to know Jesus. Who would not want that? Believe it or not, there are churches and groups that don't believe in this. But we are so blessed to know the power and the reality of the Holy Spirit. My friends, he is not an optional extra. The Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. Online, the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. And if you're sitting at home saying, I don't need that hogwash, let me tell you, you do. You do. The days we live in and the days that we're coming into, if we don't have the direction, the comfort, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I don't know how we're going to get through. My friends, seriously, not scaremongering, we have the greatest power on in heaven and on earth to help us through whatever our world is going to face in the time to come. He wants to be people in us that don't just follow signs and wonders, but have signs and wonders following us. You know, we have wonderful, wonderful, incredible ministries in New Zealand and throughout the world. And signs and wonders flow from their lives. And people follow them. Hang on a minute. It's not exclusive for them.
That's right.
It's for you.
Amen.
It's for me.
That's right.
We just have to believe and take all those things He's given us. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. Now, today you have permission to interact. You have the permission to jump up and down and squeal if you really like this. You have permission, like ladies in Africa, if you want to run around and go if you like it or if God is moving on you. You have permission to amen, and you have permission to raise your hands or jump up and down. Okay? See, we're a family. We do this when we celebrate, don't we? So come on, be like that. It really encourages the preacher too. Holy Spirit is not just here for special events. He's not just the one you invite to your birthday parties and your special times. He is here for us every day, every day, every day. It's wonderful to wake up in the morning, whatever time that might be, or the afternoon, and say, good morning, or good day, Holy Spirit. And there was a wonderful book that was written, and I just forget who it was that wrote it now. Benny Hinn, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Wow. So to walk each day with that reality, with that knowledge, with that presence, with that understanding that you're with me, you're in me, you're here around me. When I minister in America, sometimes I minister at revivals. And it's something I'm still getting my head around, but they put a tent up and they have a 4-day revival. What happens after that? Do you all die again? I don't know. No, not really. It's just what they call a series of meetings. But revival is for you every minute. It's not an event. Holy Spirit wants us to live in revival, to actually be revival, walking around, doing what you're doing. And in that revival, perform miracles. Pray for the sick and Jesus will heal them. In the supermarket, on the train, in a bus, at a cafe. I know because I see it happening regularly. He will do that. He wants us to have words of knowledge for people and prophesy over them and speak of Jesus to them and find a little sentence in a whole conversation that is a chink in the door that we can nudge open gently and say, have you ever thought that Jesus might love you? The shock on people's faces is quite amazing. Some of you might know that I disappeared for 6 months last year. I was in the Northern Hemisphere. It was a journey of discovery. It was a journey of work. I worked in the UK. I traveled, I explored. I drove around roads that I've never imagined were possible. I ministered in Germany over a weekend, and I ministered in the United States for a few weeks at the end. But every single day of that 6 months, I was ministering. I would sit in a cafe and ask God to sit someone beside me. I'd be on a bus or a plane or a train or walking down the street or sitting on a bench in Italy listening to music al fresco. Yeah, hard, isn't it? Someone's got to do it, though. Anywhere I was, there was somebody. And I honestly can say almost every day, someone was near me and God presented an opportunity to minister to them. My friends, if you think ministry is this, you've got it wrong.
That's right.
Ministry is me inside my clothes walking around the earth, walking around my supermarket, my school, my town, my gym, my workplace, my home, anywhere. Ministry is every day, by the power of the Holy Spirit, walking around inside our clothes. Did you get it? Will I say it again? Ministry is every day, my friends, walking around inside your clothes. It's not holding a microphone. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the power of the Holy Spirit. Nor I should be, says Murray in the front row. Exactly. I'm not scared to talk of the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed or afraid or what anybody thinks of me speaking in tongues. You might actually catch me doing it. I heard this morning about a lady who just, she swings from English to tongues just like that, and she's not always aware. Isn't that cool? I haven't got there yet. I'm going to. And you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The power of God. I've seen people in Eastern countries, Nepal particularly, I think of, that are on a search to find reality and power. They usually look bedraggled, sad, lost, wan, poor, searching. And yet here we are. We can ask and receive just like that. What a gift. What a gift. If I had the keys to a new Mercedes here and I said, who wants it? There'd be a rush. Yeah? Well, I've got better than that for you. Amen. We have the power of God. We have the person of the Holy Spirit. And I never can understand why everyone that names the name of Jesus doesn't want all that we can have. Are you too comfortable? This morning when I was in prayer with some other ladies here, God said this to me. He said, there's people here today that have got the call of God on your life, and you know it. When you look at the deepest, most honest part of you, you know it. But you've shut the stable door because the price will cost you. It'll cost you everything. But I want to say to you, God also said to me, if they will open that door, I will provide all that they need. You don't need to respond to that, but please, please respond to the Holy Spirit. Respond to God. We need your call. We need your call. There's people here that are called to intercession. That'll cost you. There's people that are called to travel and be missionaries, short term or long. That'll cost you. There's people that are called to speak. There's people that are called to evangelize. Why would you refuse the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If you're online and you're hearing this, it's for you as well this morning. He wants you, not only wants you, needs you. And we need you. The body of Christ needs you so we can be complete. You know, there's no other faith that I've ever heard of, and put me right if I'm wrong, that can ever testify to having the power of God. None. But like the prophets of Baal, they cut themselves and scream and shout and dance, and nothing happens. We lay hands on the sick and Jesus heals them. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Let me encourage you to step up. Let me encourage you to take everything that God says you can have and have it. It's for you. And did you know what? There's not one person that hasn't qualified. The day you said, I do to Jesus, was the day you qualified. to be his hands, his feet. Yes, you're on a journey. We're all on a journey of learning and healing and growing. But the day that you said yes was the day that he said, I can use that person. Am I stunning you? He deserves and wants full control of our lives. And I want to challenge you today. Can he have full control of your life? Are you going to stop sitting and saying, no, not yet, I'm not ready? Are you going to have all sorts of excuses any longer? Are you going to allow the pain and the hurt of what people have done to you stop you? I could have said yes to all of those things, but I haven't. I've said yes to God. And some of you know my story. I'm going full forward, full speed ahead. No handbrake. Take off the handbrake, my friends. Take off the handbrake. And I've just had this impression of some of you sitting at the top of a hill in a car with the handbrake on. Take it off and you're off. Down that hill. Let God have full control. Let him be the one that you surrender to. So now let's open our Bibles. That was the introduction. You might have had enough now. In Luke chapter 24, verse 47 to 49. And the Passion Translation, if you've got that there, Margaret. Thank you. This is after the resurrection, Jesus speaking to the disciples. Did you know after the resurrection, he came back over 40 days many times and taught them and trained them and spoke to them? Wasn't that gorgeous of him? So after the resurrection, he says in verse 47, now you must go into all the nations and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins so that they will turn to me. Start right here in Jerusalem. 48, for you are my witnesses and have seen for yourself all that has transpired. 49, and I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until a mighty power, which is the dunamis, dynamite, miraculous power, is that word in the Greek, till that power of heaven falls on you. And that falls means like sinking into a garment. Like falling into your jeans when you get up out of bed in the morning. Well, that's a pretty funny, no, maybe not that. Like falling into a garment, that's what that falls means. Until it falls upon you and wraps around you. You know, there have been many promises about the Spirit being sent in the Word through the Old Testament. And they were said in Isaiah and Joel and Haggai, Jeremiah, where the word says, I will pour out my spirit. But here's the understanding of it. And the spirit is called the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. What is he talking about? What is the promise? But he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's not talking about some ethereal cloud-like thing that is going to come. He is talking about the person of the Holy Spirit that Jesus knew well, of course. I am sure they were terrified because they knew how scared they were. He's just told them, you are my witnesses. He's just told them that the mighty power of heaven is going to fall on you and it's going to wrap around you. Would you be terrified? Absolutely. I'm the only chicken here. No. I would have been terrified. And so Pentecost was introduced by Jesus right there. And then we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. Thanks, Margaret. After the sufferings of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to those same disciples over a 40-day period, and he proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. During these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom realm and shared meals with them, and he instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised, the promise. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And verse 8, but I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea and the distant provinces, and even to the remotest places on earth. So they're starting to get a little bit more understanding here. I'm sure they're still totally terrified. But God says, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my messengers. People ask the same questions today. What does it mean? It means you are going to be God's witnesses and you're going to be God's messengers. And the power of the Holy Spirit is here for us. And it's going to come upon you today. If you have not received the Holy Spirit and speak in the heavenly language that we read about in a moment in the Word, today's your day. He wants to fill you with all the power of heaven. He wants to give you a heavenly language. He wants to endue you with power from on high, and like it wraps around you, like it just was said here. And the disciples would have been saying, how, what, when? They may know the why by now, but it would be a very small why. But God's plan was that they would take the message of the kingdom. They would evangelize, they would heal the sick, they would raise the dead, they would cast out demons, they would prophesy. And their answer would be, when they started to understand that, who, me? And the answer to them and the answer to you is, yes, it's you and it's me. It's me. Is it you? Wow. You're very quiet. I hope it's because you're shocked. The disciples were sent to heal the sick and to do all those jobs in his name. But they could not do it on their own strength. They could not do it. They had to have that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in them to do the works that Jesus Christ did. And we are the same. We cannot do Jesus' works on the earth without the power of his Holy Spirit. Right, here we are. And so he said, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Comes from a word called baptizo. That means immersed. My finger is immersed in this glass of water, which I will drink. I won't expect anyone else to drink it, but it is clean. Baptizoed. My finger is baptizoed in this water right now. It's immersed. I thought of all sorts of illustrations I could do, but they were all a bit messy. So I thought I would just use the water. They would be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So when we drink water, it's in me. And when we get baptized, we're in it, in him. And it's like all of him and all of me in all of him. When I get into a swimming pool or a bath, I can't get all in except my left big toe. I can't get all in except my left armpit. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Anyone that's visual, don't go there. If you get into a swimming pool, you are engulfed. It's all over your head. That's what baptizo, that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for us. He wants to engulf us. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Yeah, they were sitting there shivering and shaking, going, what's God going to do? Who, how, when, me? I'm not sure. What's it going to cost me? Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Verse 3, then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. Can you picture that? What a stupendous day. What an incredible happening. This was life-changing. It engulfed all of them. This was not happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday. No way. It was the birthday of Pentecost, but it was not just an innocuous little flame that did nothing. This was life-changing. This was life-transforming. This fire would burn through them every single day of their lives on earth. And that's what God wants to do with you and with me, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're not just going to have a little flame on top of our head that someone can go and blow out. It is the fire of God to dwell in us and be in us and move through us and for us to minister in and around. Come on, I'm coming. And they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues. Speak in tongues? Did you know some churches preach against that? Well, we're preaching it strongly today. You need to speak in tongues, my friends. You need that power of the Holy Ghost flowing through you. You need the language of the Spirit. So when you don't know what to pray, God prays through you. There's people I'm praying for right now. I'll say their name. I don't know what to pray, but I'm praying in tongues. It's a language the devil does not understand. It's the language of heaven. They did it. We do it. If you don't, you need to. And you're going to have the opportunity today to come forward, and we are going to pray that God fills you and gives you that amazing gift. And you will never pray the same again, I promise, in Jesus' name. So they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. The Holy Spirit gave them utterance. He put words into their mouths by His Spirit. This day, 2,000-ish years ago in Palestine, a match was struck. Initially, there were just a few, these disciples that were sitting in fear and trembling, waiting for what this promise might be. Now it's us, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's us. That same power is yours and mine. It's not an optional extra. Holy Spirit is not an optional extra of your Christian life. I don't want us to be Pinos. What's a Pino? Pentecostal in name only. P-I-N-O. Don't be a Pino, my friends. We like that. I heard that and I borrowed it. No, I stole it. There's people that are Pentecostal in name only. Let's be Pentecost. Let's live Pentecost. Let's minister out a Pentecostal experience that God has given us. You don't all have to be an extrovert like me. But you are powerful in the Spirit, even if you don't make a lot of noise. It's so amazing, so powerful to have the Holy Spirit flow through us day by day. It's useful. And I love it that the devil doesn't know what I'm praying when I run out of English. See, on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in known languages that were understood. Today we speak in languages that heaven understands, but there are times when people speak languages that are understood. My very first ministry trip to Kenya in Africa, it's in a taxi with my two team members. We were going from the airport to accommodation, and we'd traveled something like 50 hours. And if you've ever done that, you're tired and hysterical at the same time. Has anyone ever done that? Oh, it's awful, isn't it? Isn't it, Vicky? You just don't know who you are, really. Like, take me, find me a bed, put me to sleep. Enough. So I was in the front seat beside the African driver in the car. Has anyone been in a taxi in Africa? Oh, my goodness. It was tied together with string and duct tape, I have to say. The front windscreen had so many bashes on it that it had stickers all stuck on the inside to stop it falling in. So the driver's driving, sort of peering around these stickers, trying not to go off the road. I was so tired, and this was so funny. It was my first trip to Africa. It doesn't scare me so much now. I just think, oh, Africa, that's what they do. But I turned around to one of my friends in the back seat, and I started speaking in tongues. After about 10 seconds, the driver's looking at me going, what you say? What you saying? What you saying? What you saying? I said, I'm talking to God. He said, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. He said, you're talking about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was speaking Swahili. Can you believe it? So I said to him, pull over. Best pull over than drive off the road, right? Yep, so he did. So he pulled over, and so I evangelized him right there and then. He was a nominal Christian. He knew about Jesus. That day he gave his heart to the Lord and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And we had a tongue-speaking trip to the accommodation. That's what God can do. I think I know three words in Swahili, actually. That's about all. There was another time when God used tongues powerfully for me. I was in Sri Lanka and I'd been out to a village to a meeting. I'd been sent on my own with three or four young Sri Lankan pastors. And it was the years when the Sri Lankan island was in terrible turmoil with the Tamil Tigers fighting the government. And there were vicious fights that went on, you know, continually. Dead bodies on the road and things that you just don't want to see. And on the way to this meeting, we were in a van. It's quite a number of years ago, and it was an old, what's an old van called, Grant? Like a combi, that's right, yep.
An old van.
Yeah, like an old Ford Transit. And I was sitting behind the driver, and it had a slidey window. You know a slidey window? Don't have them anymore, probably. On the way to the meeting, we saw a van just the same, burned out, with bodies inside. They were the opposition or the enemy, and they'd been burned and incinerated in their vehicle. and the young pastors said to me, we need to be very careful in this area, coming back is dangerous. So had a wonderful meeting. God did incredible, amazing miracles. And on the way back, in that same spot, just down the road a bit from there, we were stopped by the enemy. The sliding door right beside my right temple opened, and a gun sat here. Right here on the spot. What did I do? I started speaking in tongues, fast and loud. I didn't know what to do. It was my go-to. The guy on the other end of the gun looked in and he swore and he said, white nose, go, drive. And the driver put his foot on the accelerator and we took off. What would have happened? I don't know. But I know that God saved my life that day. So I could be here today to tell you. So I can be here today to stir you up in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Sri Lanka. So the disciples were filled and they began to speak. You can do that today if you never have. And if you've only got a few little words and you're frustrated and you want more, you can have more today. God's got more for you. They didn't wait for God to turn the switch on. He filled them, and they were filled, and they spoke. Sometimes people think they've got to wait for God to turn a switch on. Actually, we use our own voices and our own will to do this, and God empowers it as we do. It takes a surrender. Surrender of this thing, which is used for good and evil. We need to activate. We need to be able to allow God to speak through us. So after, now we're looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 14. After they were filled, you know the story, they got drunk and they wobbled down the stairs into the street. And the Bible says these men are not drunk, they're filled with the Spirit. And Peter, the coward of all time, but the one upon who, the rock upon whom the church is built, stood up in Acts 2:14 with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. Here's the four chapter before man that said, when they asked him, 'Do you know Jesus?' when they were taking him away, 'I don't know the man.' And then someone said, 'But we saw you with him.' 'I have no clue who he is. Don't ask me again.' Getting really annoyed, I'm sure. And the third time he did it, and a chicken had to wake him up. Weird, eh? The rooster's crowing this morning, my friends. Calling. Wake up. Wake up. If you're slumbering in the spirit, God wants to wake you and set you alive, on fire, and awake, never to slumber in the spirit again. And Peter preached this most incredible sermon, and I'm not going to read it all. It goes from Acts 2:36 through to Acts 2:43. But he says, "This Jesus who you crucified, he is the Son of God." What boldness came over him? What courage? They saw what he saw, what they did to Jesus when he said he was the Son of God. Peter could have, real fast. His life was at stake. But the Holy Spirit and power and fire had come upon him, and a boldness to do that in the front of mockers and executioners and haters. We do not know if the day will come in this nation where we have to put our lives on the line in such a manner. And if that happens, there will be no way any of us can do it without that same power of the Holy Spirit in us. And from there, the church grew. It didn't grow by a program. It didn't grow by somebody being keen. It grew by the power of the Holy Spirit. It didn't grow by the enthusiasm of the disciples. The Spirit of God caused that growth to come. They were empowered. He was the promise of the Father. And that promise of the Father that came to them has not been diluted over these 2,000 years. That promise is here for you today. It's here for you if you're watching online. It's here for me today. And I continually want to walk in the reality of that promise. You might have seen me if you've been out with me doing just that. He gives us motivation. He gives us courage. He gives us energy. He gives us the ability to live our lives and to witness for him. Let's not be Pinos. You're not going to forget this. Pentecostal in name only. We are Pentecostal people that walk and live and carry that incredible gift with us every day. That was Pentecost then, and that is no different in this day that we live. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, my friends. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not just a tack on to your salvation. He is part of it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And today I want to invite you, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, come and receive this gift, the promise of the Father. But first of all, the Jesus that we talk about, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, he's calling you. He's drawing you. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to give you peace on the inside. And he wants to set you on a path of the plans and purposes he has for you. Salvation is your gift. You can take it if you want it. He is here. And we would love to welcome you into God's family. Well, we would love to welcome you to be a born-again Christian.
Yes, we would.
And live a new life just like you've been born again. I wonder if the musicians please would come. I think you have something prepared. So that's the first thing that... Thanks, honey. That's a very important step. Very important step. And if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost and you don't speak in tongues, today's your day. Today's your day. The promise of the Father is here for you. We have people that will come and pray with you and help you. And thirdly, if you are a Christian and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues and you want more, you just feel like you're doing baby things. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want more Holy Spirit language, you come. God's going to pull out that plug today and release heavenly language through you, the language of heaven. Thanks, Paulette. So as we begin to sing, please come. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, just so that we can help facilitate for you, please just come and stand here. And those that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come and stand across the front. Please don't wait. Please don't wait for somebody else to come. If that's you and you've heard the word of the Lord this morning, the altar is here for you and it's your day. Let us stand as we begin to sing. Come now. God is waiting. God's waiting to bless you. Hallelujah. Come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come and receive the Holy Spirit today. Baptized in the Spirit of God this morning. Today. Pour out your Spirit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out. Hallelujah. Pour your Spirit out. Come.